robotics and automation impact operations, a rise in supply chain AI investments, and Walmart squeezes more costs from its distribution. Pull up a chair and join us as the editors of DC Velocity discuss these stories as well as news and supply chain trends on this week's Logistics Matters podcast. I am Dave Maloney. I'm the Group Editorial Director at DC Velocity. Welcome. Logistics Matters is sponsored by Yale Lift Truck Technologies. At Yale, they believe effective material handling goes beyond simply moving product from point to point. Instead, their full line of warehouse lift trucks and technologies are designed to tackle your toughest labor, safety, and productivity challenges. It's time to rethink what you expect from your forklifts. Learn more at yale.com. As usual, our DC Velocity senior editors Ben Ames and Victoria Kickham will be along to provide their insights into the top stories of this week. But to begin today, robotics have impacted supply chains in ways few other technologies ever have. From filling orders in warehouses to loading and unloading trucks, robotics and automation are making our supply chains run more efficiently and accurately. And while use of robotics has seen steady growth in the industry, what's the near-term outlook? To find out, here's Ben with today's guest. Ben?
Thanks, Dave. Automation is big news in warehousing and fulfillment, but the latest numbers show that robot orders by North American companies were down 30% in 2023. Those statistics came from the Association for Advancing Automation, which is known as A3. Part of that decline is due to natural business cycles, part is due to a drawback from a pandemic spike in orders, and part is due to tighter economic conditions we've all been seeing. But the fact remains that in a time of record low unemployment, labor is hard to find and e-commerce is still booming. So most experts say that we're going to need more robots than ever. Here to help us sort out the various trends in this sector in this episode is Jeff Bernstein. He's the president of A3. Welcome, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
To start us off, Jeff, could you just give us a crash course on what the Association for Advancing Automation does and what role it plays in logistics and manufacturing?
Sure. We're a trade association with about 1,300 member companies all over the world. And our goal is to educate people on how to successfully apply automation. We've been doing this for, this is our 50th year now. And this is the best time to be in automation because things are growing rapidly around the world, despite the recent downturn that you mentioned in your open.
Yeah, gotcha. Speaking of that, I mean, I mentioned that robot orders took a 30% dip in 2023, but I know that you guys also have been, as you say, tracking this for decades, and that came after really healthy jumps in robot orders in the pandemic years of 2021 and 2022, right? Can you help us sort of put those trends in perspective?
Yeah. So things were going pretty well until the pandemic, and then there was a big downturn, obviously, in 2020. We had a strong recovery starting in 2021 that culminated in a record year in 2022. Keep in mind, we're talking about more traditional robots, industrial robot arms, collaborative robots, than we are mobile. We don't have good data on mobile robots, so they're not really factored in. But we think that the big jumps that we saw that were outsized compared to the trend lines we were on were due to supply chain issues. And so companies were afraid that they weren't going to be able to get robots. It was taking a year in some cases to get what they needed. So they ordered more than they needed. And as a result, you've got, for instance, system integrators with big inventories now that have to work through them. And you also have a lot of new customers who emerged during the pandemic who are still figuring out the best ways to apply the robots that they have and making sure the ROI is there before they purchase more. So, well, in the past, we would have been very much alarmed by a 30% decline. This time around, people don't feel that way because it's more of a return to the trend line that we were on, and we still believe we're in the early days of automating.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Another number in your report that had changed in 2023 that I noticed was the portion of robots bought by the automotive sector, which actually dropped more than other sectors. But traditionally, if I'm right, automakers have really led this industry. They were some of the first ones to really use a lot of robots for manufacturing cars, right? So what happened there?
Yeah, well, that's very true still. They're still the largest end user of robotics. Very cyclical industry. When they're launching new products, getting ready to launch new products, they buy a lot of robots, and then oftentimes you see a dip. This time, I think it may also have something to do with maybe a delayed implementation of transferring to more electric vehicles. So again, I wouldn't put much stock in a downturn in automotive. What's more important is the size of the non-automotive market. That's been growing quite a bit over the decades. In the early years, automotive accounted for 70% or more. And now in many years, it's a 50-50 split between automotive and non-automotive. And I think there was 1 year recently where automotive was actually large. I mean, non-automotive was actually a larger segment of the pie. But this is good news for people who are in the automation business because every industry is trying to automate now.
For sure. Yeah, we're seeing that as well. And you'd mentioned before another aspect of this, when you're talking about sort of arms versus mobile, there are various types of robots. And are you seeing sort of different makes or designs of those robots changing to meet new goals and applications?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there's a lot of different form factors. In the early days, there was only robots that were, you know, put in cages to keep away from people. Now you have collaborative robots that can work side by side with people safely. Mobile robots is a relatively new. I mean, we had AGVs for a long time, but autonomous mobile robots working in warehouses and factories is relatively new form factor. Now humanoids are on the horizon. So continued innovation in terms of what is a robot and what form factor it takes.
As you said at the front, it's an exciting time to be in this sector and watch that play out. So looking into the future, can you share what thoughts that you have for the sector as we head into the second half of 2024 now?
Well, we think there'll be an upturn in orders, but, you know, we'll wait and see on that. But everybody that I talk to is pretty confident. And again, the reason for the confidence is it's widely perceived that there's still so many companies out there that haven't even implemented one robot. When you look at small and medium-sized companies, when you look at companies in industries like construction and agriculture and food processing and life sciences, I mean, there's so many opportunities out there. And then not even to mention, you know, things like retail and service robots and hopefully one day our homes. But just so many opportunities. So we think there's so much more to look forward to, and we think we're just getting started, even though this industry has been around 60 years now or more.
Amazing. It sounds, we'll repeat it again, but an exciting time to be watching it, and we hope that as this plays out, that you'll consider coming back and joining us on the podcast for a future episode to see how that plays out.
Oh, I'd be happy to do that anytime. Thanks for having me.
Our guest this week has been Jeff Bernstein from the Association for Advancing Automation. Back to you, Dave.
Thank you, Jeff and Ben. And one more thing to add, listeners can learn more about robotics and automation at the Automate Show that A3 puts on in Chicago. It'll be held next week, May 6th through 9th. Now let's take a look at some of the other supply chain news from the week. And Victoria, you wrote a story about how investments for supply chain AI are on the rise. Can you share the details?
Absolutely, Dave. Happy to. So yeah, supply chain leaders are upbeat about generative AI, with most saying they expect to reap returns on their investments in the technology this year, and that they plan to invest even more in the future. Now, this is according to an Accenture survey of C-suite executives worldwide, and it was released this week. The company surveyed 2,800 business leaders from 18 countries in a variety of industries and functions for its Pulse of Change report. Nearly 350 of those executives said they are responsible for supply chain operations and/or production. So that's the group we're talking about here. Interestingly, there were a couple of caveats to their positive outlook on AI, though. The supply chain leaders surveyed said they need a better understanding of generative AI and its potential. And they also cited the need for widespread training on the technology across their organizations. This all follows a separate Accenture report that found that generative AI could automate or augment 58% of the processes in supply chains. So there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, there certainly is. But Victoria, where do supply chain leaders say that they are lacking?
Well, in general, the survey found that 3/4 of supply chain leaders say their organizations need, I'm quoting, at least some level of training in generative AI. And that compares to 18% who said they need extensive training in the technology. To be a bit more specific, more than half, 54%, said they believe their organization requires intermediate level training in the technology. And that would be in areas like prompt engineering or model fine tuning. 40% said they need advanced training, and that would include things like developing generative AI models and applications. Now, some of this may stem from a lack of familiarity with Gen AI on a personal level. Another interesting stat, at least to me, from the survey was that less than half, just 42% of those surveyed, said that they personally use Gen AI tools at least once a week, and that was down compared to 6 months ago when 71% said so.
That's an interesting statistic, and it may be telling us that many feel that Gen AI tools are not yet ready for prime time. They want to make sure they're more reliable and accurate, or they're just not quite sure what to do with them yet, especially for important work.
Yeah, could be. We'll have to see how it all plays out.
Yep. Thank you, Victoria.
You're welcome.
And Ben, you wrote this week about one way that Walmart is squeezing out some of the distribution costs from its network. Can you give us the details?
Yeah, glad to. You know, we cover e-commerce and omni-channel sales in the magazine because that's what drives so many trends in logistics. And those conversations usually start and end with Amazon because they're by far the U.S.'s biggest e-commerce store by revenue. But if you count brick and mortar sales as well, Walmart is actually much bigger. Its total sales for 2023 were about twice Amazon's. Three times Costco, Kroger, or Home Depot, and about five times Target, CVS, and Walgreens. So Walmart has some serious scale. They're also famous for making their supply chain as rigorously efficient as possible. You think about their mandate for suppliers to tag items with RFID. They also had a policy of fining suppliers if they don't meet standards for on-time and full deliveries. And so this week we learned about another way that Walmart is squeezing cost out of the system. The company opened what they called a high-tech consolidation center in Illinois. That's a 490,000 square foot facility that uses automation to flow three times more volume of goods through the building than the manual version. They have a total of about 10 of these consolidation centers nationwide, but most of them are manual. This is actually the third one of those that's the high-tech version that they operate. That follows the first type of that high-tech one that they opened in California back in 2019.
Ben, that sounds like a very interesting concept. So how does the consolidation center work?
Well, they didn't share what type of automation they use. Walmart often keeps those details very close to the vest. But the idea is that usually Walmart's thousands of individual suppliers ship their merchandise to Walmart's 42 different regional DCs in the U.S. So each supplier sends 42 different shipments. But using these consolidation centers, the suppliers end up just sending one big order to a consolidation center, and then Walmart splits it up itself. The company says that gives it better visibility over inventory earlier on, higher up in the supply chain, so it can know faster when something might go wrong. So then specifically, the consolidation center receives goods in less than truckload shipments, and it groups them into full truckload shipments that it then sends along to those 42 regional DCs we mentioned. And those regional ones forward the right goods to Walmart's almost 5,000 retail stores in the country. These are all very large numbers. They just run operations on a huge scale over there. But it shows another way that Walmart's making it work with the most efficient supply chain possible.
Yes, it is. And I guess it's another reason why Walmart is considered one of the very best at running their supply chains.
They're doing some extraordinary steps. I think a lot of folks are trying to watch them and learn.
Thanks, Ben.
Yep.
We encourage listeners to go to dcvelocity.com for more on these and other supply chain stories. Also, check out the podcast notes section for some direct links to read more about the topics that we discussed today. And we'd like to thank Jeff Bernstein of the Association for Advancing Automation, better known as A3. He was our guest today, and we thank him for that. And we welcome your comments on this topic and our other stories. You can email us at podcast@agilebme.com. We also encourage you to subscribe to Logistics Matters at your favorite podcast platform. Our new episodes are uploaded on Fridays. And a reminder that Logistics Matters is sponsored by Yale Lift Truck Technologies. From purposefully designed warehouse lift trucks to next-generation operator assist and automation technologies, Yale provides the solutions you need today and tomorrow. Learn how to unlock the full potential of your warehouse at yale.com. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Logistics Matters. Be sure to join us. Until then, have a great week.